Chapter 12, How Not to Save for an Emergency Fund. Do this, and you may lose $1 million. The sequel. In the first part, I left off with what we call a cliffhanger in the movie business. Do you remember? I told you most experts get it wrong when it comes to an emergency fund. In fact, I said I'd give you a million reasons why these experts are wrong. The financial planner police, yes, they exist, might kick me out of the industry if I suggested it was not important to have an ability to cover these emergency situations. But the antiquated 6 to 12 months in a checking account or money market account is a terrible idea. Consider a 30-year-old couple. They're doing their best to save for retirement and raise a family. They calculate that 12 months of living expenses is $75,000. Like good students, they follow the standard financial advice and set aside $75,000 in a savings account at a bank. After a few high fives, they go on about their lives feeling good about their smart financial decision. It's too bad, though. They just cost themselves $1 million. So here's the math. Traditional emergency reserve account. So they put their $75,000 in a savings account. That account earns, let's say, 1% interest rate. They do this for 35 years until they're age 65. So if you do the math, the total in that account after those 35 years is about $106,000. Now let's look at an alternative emergency reserve strategy. Let's say they take that same $75,000, but instead of putting it into a savings account, they invest it in a diversified portfolio. Instead of earning 1% interest rate, they earn an 8% investment return over those same 35 years. Guess how much that account might be worth after 35 years? Over $1,108,000. The difference between these two strategies? You guessed it, $1,002,655. So the alternative emergency reserve is simply to invest the cash in a diversified investment portfolio. But hold on, you say. Where's the rainy day fund when you need access to money quickly? Well, you absolutely should have access to assets, cash, or some way to cover these emergencies. But there are many other sources you could access that won't cost you $1 million at retirement. Here are just a few. A home equity line. If you own a home, apply for a home equity line of credit. If approved, you will get a checkbook from which you can write checks if you have an emergency. Another option is a 401k loan. Check with your employer to see if your 401k allows for loans. You can withdraw 50% of your balance up to a maximum of $50,000. Or if your 401k balance is $10,000 or less, you can borrow the full amount. Of course, you should avoid borrowing from your 401k and only consider it as a last resort. Another option are credit cards. This is often the quickest way to access cash or pay for an emergency, often even faster and probably more convenient than withdrawing cash from a traditional emergency reserve account. Another option, an investment account. So as long as you don't have illiquid investments, that $75,000 that you invest can be accessed within a day or two at most. The takeaway isn't that having an emergency reserve is a bad idea. It's imperative that you have access to a source of funds that you can tap into quickly. The real takeaway is that if you keep your emergency reserve assets in cash, a savings account or a money market account, you just get so little interest or return on this money. I call this a dead asset. Instead, make sure you have access to assets if there is an emergency. Maybe set aside a few thousand dollars in cash. Take the rest you would have set aside and invest it. Over time, and in this case, 35 years, there's a good chance you'll do a lot better than if it just sat in your checking account.